Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Tuesday, April 16th. We are recording this here Monday afternoon. We have finished the Monday matinee game, and if you followed along with Guardians, got us a nice little plus odds winner there. The reminder, right, that the line move isn't always right. People kept betting on Boston. And a game that, Cutter Crawford performed very well, Xavier Curry matched him. And I sent him a message to the Discord when it was tied 0-0 in the fifth or sixth. I said, hey, we're in pretty good shape here with the Guardians at this point, plus odds. I was like, Cleveland's bullpen's better. I think their offense is a little better. I was like, we're in decent shape here. And sure enough, they came through for us again. More Tuesday day baseball, which will be exciting today. But just some quick reminders, of course, if you're not with the show on Dub Club, check that out. That link in the show description will get you a free 10-day trial with the QR code, all sorts of extra picks, all the first five picks, which we talked about yesterday, which have done so well. Updates, picks sent out right when I make them. This one's an interesting one. As I mentioned yesterday, I don't not know exactly when I'll be recording. Part of that is life situations with the littles. Part of it is just trying to figure out what are the picks I feel the best about with regards to first five full game. But no matter what we're doing, you always get that notification if you're with us on Dub Club and get the picks. In this case, the lines that kind of just dropped for the most part. Trying to squeeze this in between baby and toddler things happening. And so, you know, locked in some picks, sent those out. So everyone on Dub Club already knows what we're doing before I record this and before it gets sent out. I don't know where the number's going to move. I don't know where it'll go overnight, but you get all that over on Dub Club. So a lot of reasons to be over there. If we're helping you be a smarter, better, a better, if you're enjoying our content, please check that out. It helps keep us in business. And if you're watching the show, you presumably like it. So we would appreciate you checking that out if you can't. Some quick reminders, www.pickswiththeprofessor.com/new will give you the information about the model, community rules. We are projecting an average game. We do not know what will happen in one game. Anything is possible, but remember, anything is a good bet at the right price or number. And as a reminder why that's the case, the bottom line is if you're going to take 10 very similar games that are all, you know, and you know, in the minus 150-ish range, and you win 6 out of 10, betting all those games at minus 155, you're a loser. Betting at minus 145, you're a winner. And that's why the price matters. It's not going to change anything about who's going to win. It's about the fact that entering the game, because we don't know who's going to win, we want to make sure that the reward is worth the risk. And in some cases, some big plus odds may be worth it. Some big minus odds may be worth it, or maybe not. And that's the reason we have the model. And I'm going to talk about that specifically. There's a game that really stuck out to me. I'm like, hey, here's exactly why I have a model to help figure out exactly how to quantify what's happening here, because as the numbers get further and further away from even money, it becomes real tough to say, is a team going to win 60% of the time, 65, 70, what it is like that. And so we try to anchor ourselves in what is a good number. Recording this over 24 hours from most games you're playing. The weather information can change, but all that will be on Dub Club. So don't lock in anything here based off of weather information without having made sure you've checked the updated forecast if your play is weather related. And again, that'll all be available for everybody on Dub Club in the morning, so we'll know a lot more then. There are no locks in gambling. A grades are the best value. It doesn't mean that they are locks. They're going to happen. It just means that the price is good enough that if we're putting more money on those, we're going to make even higher ROI on them. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. We like it when you like it. It helps us find other people. So please like this show if you can. We'll start off with that daytime baseball. Rangers with the Twins, 1 p.m. Issue with this game right now, the Rangers have not announced a starting pitcher. John Gray has been questionable so far, averaging 4 innings a start. Underlying metrics, maybe even a little bit worse than his mid-4 ERA. And so without knowing who's going to start this game, we are kind of left questioning what exactly is going to happen. Casey Mize for Detroit is going to be very meh, slightly worse in the season than Gray and worse last year and historically than Gray has been. So the Rangers will have an edge there. They'll have an edge on offense. They'll have an edge with regards to the fact that you know, Casey Mize is not a very strong pitcher. The big question is just, does Jonathan Gray go or not? Or is it someone else? And of course, all the updates go to Dub Club if it's someone else. If it is Gray, we would have the Rangers as small favorites here, minus 126, and the A-grade threshold will be minus 113. I would be shocked if we see a price like minus 113 on the Rangers. I would imagine we'd be either passing on the Tigers just because, as I mentioned yesterday, I don't see a lot of value happening on the Rangers at this point. Of course, if it's a different pitcher, that kind of changes everything completely. So posting this here, in case it is that, I'm just going with off Fangraphs has. If it's someone else again, we'll update on the Dub Club. To the night games, Twins and the Orioles. Pretty decent night weather-wise here. Upper 60s to start, mid-60s to close, slight breeze blowing across. Going to take what's a slightly pitcher-friendly ballpark now that they've moved the fences in and make it maybe a little bit more pitcher-friendly. Given the fact that the temperature will be a little bit colder than the average. When we talk about part factors, that's the average temperature. And this will be a little bit cooler than a normal game in Baltimore, mainly because we will get some really hot ones there that is balanced in. So pretty pitcher-friendly atmosphere there in this one. Chris Paddock and Grayson Rodriguez. Rodriguez has been good. The underlying metrics are just maybe not quite as good, but still a very good pitcher. The better pitcher in this one, Paddock, nothing to be ashamed of, very respectable. Here's the thing on him. He's been injured. He's been out a lot, right? And so there's a lot of question marks there. The underlying metrics, it's only two starts, but aren't very positive for him. And so this is a situation where I kind of think the edge that the model is seeing here for the Orioles with regards to starting pitcher of about a standard deviation, I think is probably, that's probably the lower bound for it. I think it might actually be a little bit bigger. I'm really high on Rodriguez. He's a young guy who's just got a lot of upward ceiling. Paddock, I think, can turn it around, absolutely, but I want to see at least better underlying metrics and better outings from him before I start thinking that. So there's a real chance the edge that the Orioles have here at starting pitcher is even bigger. They have a huge edge on offense. The Twins without Correa and Royce Lewis, massive hit to their offense, falls down towards the very bottom of that big cluster of teams in the middle of baseball. Both teams are good in the pen, but the Orioles, according to Sideline, when the 63% of the time, big home favorites here, according to the model, that makes minus 158 a B grade. You can see there on screen, minus 155 is the A grade threshold. So we're not quite to an A grade, but B plus grade here on the Orioles. I think they make a lot of sense. They are one of the ones I would consider for our parlay of the day on Tuesday. Not going to give out an official one on this show because there's a couple of the games that I'd be eyeing for that don't have lines yet, but I'll mention those when we get to them. We'll see exactly what turns out in the morning or later here Monday night. But as of now, this would be one I'd be considering in a Monday night parlay. I think the Orioles, again, B plus grade, pretty good value, a little bit steep on the odds. There's no run line out yet. Maybe the minus one offers a little bit of value. Maybe you put them in a little two-team parlay, but I think there's some value here back in the Orioles. If I can fade the Twins in one way, shape, or form, at this point, without those guys in the lineup, I think it makes a lot of sense. We're kind of doing that a little bit on Monday with the under. Hopefully that works out for us. We'll see. Hasn't happened yet. And fading them in a slightly different way here on Tuesday. Giants and the Marlins, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Rumor of a stomach bug going around Miami, the Miami clubhouse. Puck has been pushed back to Wednesday. I don't know who else might be sick. Maybe you know more about it by the time you're watching this. That's something to kind of keep an eye on because the Marlins don't have a lot of depth offensively. Depending on who it might be, that could really matter. They're not really great in the bullpen. Depending on who might be out there, it might really matter. There's just a lot of negative things happening here for the Marlins at this point. There's not much to be that excited about. The Puck experiment hasn't worked out great. We talked about that yesterday. Now they've got Ryan Weathers, whose results have been good so far in three games, but I've watched a lot of Ryan Weathers pitching. I see a little bit more West Coast baseball than anything else because there's fewer of them, so it's easier. You just catch a higher percentage of what's happening than the early slot when there's just kind of a lot to keep up with. So I've seen a lot of Ryan Weathers, and folks, it usually doesn't end well. And here's the thing is that I know that he's done well in his three starts with regards to the ERA, but I mentioned it yesterday why ERA is not really the best metric of future success, that the way we're attributing whose fault a run is is maybe way too simplistic, and there are better ways to do it. And not to say that FIP and XFIP and Sierra and all these other things are the best way to do it necessarily, but they are better ways to do it. And kind of any way you slice out his underlying metrics, it is really concerning. The FIP is up near 5. The XFIP's over 5. I think I'm going to stand by. I do not believe in Ryan Weathers as a starting pitcher. He's been out there and the team hasn't allowed runs, but I don't think that's very predictive. I think the Giants have a massive edge at starting pitcher. Jordan Hicks has been a revelation since moving back to the rotation, coming across from St. Louis. 1 ERA, but the underlying metrics obviously aren't that good. But a FIP in the low 3s, XFIP in the upper 3s projects pretty well. I mean, the Giants have a massive edge here at starting pitcher. They've got an edge in the bullpen, mainly because the Marlins bullpen just isn't that great. It's not that the Giants bullpen is fantastic. Offensively, the Giants offense is at least mediocre, which is more than you can say for the Marlins. Again, take note, I forgot to fix the glitch on the slides there. The handed pitcher ness is flipped. I have it. It is linking the pitching starting pitcher for that team. I need to crisscross it. So the Giants are 100 versus a left-handed pitcher. The Marlins are 86 versus a right-handed pitcher. So again, just take note of that as we move forward. Hopefully get that fixed by tomorrow. We're going to need the Giants here. Minus 130 is a B grade. Minus 125 is the A-grade threshold. So we need another nickel value. The model says the price should be minus 139. So good enough value to jump on. A couple thoughts here with the Giants. First off, I mentioned the Giants. I've talked about this. It's kind of an enigma, kind of a team we end up backing a lot. I don't really love it, but I mean, I like what I've seen from Jordan Hicks. So there's that. I like fading Ryan Weathers. There's that. I know he's been okay for the Marlins so far with regards to how the team's performed with him, but I'm not buying it. As I mentioned earlier, the other thing is, you know, and I mentioned this yesterday, the models always tell us to take the Giants, and I just want to like double check that the reasons are good. I'm not saying that we shouldn't back them, but I don't want to just kind of blindly back the Giants every time, at least until they, you know, hypothetically, if it turns out we're like always backing them and they finish the month, you know, they get to mid-May and they're, a 10% ROI. They don't have to have a winning record necessarily because it depends on the price we're playing them at, right? But if they're winning at a higher clip and we're making money backing them, sure, let's just do it, you know? We've long told the story a couple years ago, the Mariners, how we did that, just kind of rode them pretty heavily and to some extent the Guardians, and they just made us so much money because the book just didn't adjust. If that's the case, great. Until they start really playing better, I'm not going to do that. But we do want to look at it and see if it makes sense. This is one I think makes sense to back the Giants just because the pitching discrepancy is big. If there's any weird thing with a stomach bug and people are sick or underperforming, that's going to give us even a bigger boost. So minus 130, I think, is a pretty respectable price here to take, even though the Giants are on the road. B-grade value, you're going to go ahead and lock that in now. Rockies and the Phillies. Mid-60s to start, around 60 degrees to finish. Wind will be blowing a little all over the place. Looks like in the start, maybe shifting to the side later on. Going to be a little bit pitcher-friendly, not by much. Pair of lefties here, Austin Gomber and Ranger Suarez. Gomber, not great. 4.91 ERA, advanced metrics. About that, maybe a little bit higher. Suarez on the season's been very solid. We've talked about him in the past, not knowing exactly what we're getting from him, but the model kind of being high on him. 2.65 ERA, FIP of 2.50. So it's not like it's been overly fluky. A very solid pitcher. This one's all Phillies. I would not be backing the Rockies here unless we got some insane price. And we might. We got a couple of those with the Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays tend to be a little bit more inflated. So we'll see. But in general here, I'm thinking this is all Phillies, and the line is out on this one, but the run line isn't. And so that's where it's like, want to hold off because the money line price is like minus 227 right now, which is, as you can see on screen, not quite to an A grade at minus 224. Even if it was, like, I'm not running to bet minus 223. That's just a really high price for baseball. Baseball, weird things happen, right? That said, the Rockies on the road deserve to be faded unless the price is amazing. So I'm assuming the run line will follow pretty similar. I'm assuming the first five will follow pretty similar. I'm assuming we'll be on the Phillies come morning time or later in the evening, whatever. On the -1 will probably be what it is. As I mentioned before, I personally just don't like taking the run line for the home team. If you want to be a little riskier, take the bigger payout. The books account for that, so you do get a better payout. The model accounts for it, so it's looking at it. So it's not like you're the only one who's thought, no offense, but it's not like you're the only one who's thought about that, right? The books are shaded and the run line gives it, it's like an extra 1 or 2%, I think, in terms of probability of covering on the road team, because whether it's the +1.5 or the -1.5, the road team's more likely to do that than the home team is. So, you know, if you want to go a little riskier on the Phillies, you will get rewarded with that on the run line. I personally just want to stick to the minus one with favorites. It's been good to me for the most part. That's what I assume the play will be. If I had to guess right now, I would say a B grade. I can't lock that in officially because it's so early. The run line market hasn't even been established yet. But at this point, I mean, it's just all Phillies everywhere you look. Offensively, the Phillies aren't even great, but they're better than the Rockies by a long shot. The Phillies relievers are pretty solid. I like Ranger Suarez. There's no reason to back the Rockies on the road unless the price is great. We got that opportunity a little bit over the weekend and made some money off of them going 1-1 Friday and Saturday. I don't think we'll be backing them here, though, as it'll be Phillies for us. Just depends on what the number is to lock in whatever grade. Angels and the Rays. Jose Soriano and Aaron Civale. Soriano making his first start last time out. Looked pretty solid watching him. He did get hit around a little bit, and that's why some of his numbers are higher. But when you look at the xFIP, it's right around 4. So, I mean, he's definitely got a guy I've got my eye on. You know, 108 grade. And you can see on screen, right, ranks 195. So towards the bottom of the starting pitcher database, where as of today, there's 277 pitchers in there. If he has another couple of good outings and that xFIP kind of becomes predictively true of what the results turn out to be, he's going to be in the double digits here pretty soon with regards to that rating. He'll drop under 100, which you can 100 is average and lower is better. So I'm just kind of got my eye on him. Like, I saw some positive things watching his last start. Aaron Civale, nothing to complain about. 212 ERA in his 3 starts. FIP, low 4s, XFIP mid 3s. Obviously, he's not as good as that 212 ERA, but he's a very good pitcher, 92 grade. I think that seems pretty right. Good, not amazing pitcher. So the Rays will have the edge there. They're at home. They have a better bullpen. They probably have a better offense, but it's really rounding error at this point. Offensively, it's a wash. I mean, the Rays are favored. They should be favored. Here's the thing. The current price on the Rays is minus 155. The models, it should be minus 160. So you're looking at a C plus B minus pick right now. The model doesn't really like the Angels. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I don't know. I mean, I guess in theory, right, when you look at the precise thing, right, we say all models are wrong. So it's not like it's nailing the Angels perfectly. But is it close enough to be pessimistic on the Angels relative to the market? I don't know. It's too early in the season to really say. What I will say is, knowing the edge we saw in the Angels for Monday, I mean, on the Rays for Monday's game. And again, one game, who knows what happens, and it hasn't happened yet. So maybe the Rays maybe look smart, maybe not. I don't know. But knowing the edge that the model said we had for that game, and then seeing this is a case where I'm just not running to lay it with the Rays, because if the model is a little bit shifted, then maybe this small edge that the Rays, that the model thinks Rays has, really is nothing. And it's really just a pretty well priced line. I think that's very possible. And again, that goes back to what we always talk about. So we like the A grades, because there's just that more room for error for if we're missing things. We're more within a margin of error to still have a plus expected value play. I'm not sure we're there with this one. If we are off a little bit, I think we might be. Not a lot, just a little. We're now to a pick that's very run-of-the-mill. And I mean, I'm not dying to make a run-of-the-mill play at minus 155. You know, I might make a run-of-the-mill play at plus 155. Unfortunately, you can only get the Angels for like plus 140 right now. But you know, hey, plus 155, sure. Like, why not? Let's have some fun with it. And the odds could be worth it. But minus 155 is just not fun for the bankroll. And so Rays are favored. They should be favored. Right now, it's priced well enough that I don't think it's worth investing in. But as always, people, make sure you're shopping around. Every nickel or dime you can save can help your bankroll. You'll lose less when you lose, and you win more when you win. If you don't have an account there yet, BetUS, sign up today. Link in the show description, at the very top of the show description. 125% bonus on your first ever 3 deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Yankees and the Rays projecting a cold night in Toronto, closing the roof. Carlos Rodon and Yusei Kikuchi, a pair of lefties. Offensively, I mentioned this yesterday, you know, both teams have a good offense, but I think the Yankees offense is a little bit better here. The thing to note is we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the Blue Jays are still very right-handed heavy. And that makes them a very dangerous offense against left-handed pitching. The Yankees are a little bit left-handed heavy, and thus that makes them a little bit weaker against left-handed pitching. So the offensive edge that the Yankees have might be just about gone in this lefty versus lefty matchup. Now, that'll kind of come back a little bit more towards the later end of the game. Managers will kind of mix match or whatever, and it kind of comes down to more true talent because everyone can kind of maximize their edges in the best way possible. But early on, at least, that'll kind of balance itself out. Starting pitcher-wise, both these guys are good, Kikuchi and Rodon. Both these guys have had good results. The bullpens, I think, are just better watch. Here's where I think we have an edge here on the Blue Jays. When you look at the underlying metrics so far this season of these two guys, I think, and I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. That's just the way it goes, unfortunately. I think people are looking at Carlos Rodon and his three outings and his 172 ERA. And I think people are saying this is back to Cy Young Carlos Rodon, the guy who, when he went to San Francisco, I think that year was like projected to be insane with that pitcher-friendly ballpark, et cetera. Things have not gone great for him necessarily since then. It's been a little bit more of a mixed bag. And I know he's got that 172 ERA, but we're talking a lot about this here recently. I think it's important. We'll continue to talk about it all season. Underlying metrics, FIP 459, XFIP 509. I'm not saying that Carlos Rodon is not good. I'm saying buyer beware if you're backing Rodon or the Yankees. There's a real chance he's not as good as that ERA indicates. And there might be a little bit of Rodon inflation in this game. When you look at Kikuchi, 230 ERA, probably not that good, right? But FIP and XFIP both below 3. What that indicates is that's not fluky. Rodon's been a little fluky. I think back to playing the Astros, a game where it felt like he could have given up a ton more runs, kind of just left a bunch of guys on base, kind of getting lucky there. And that sequencing, you just can't really control. There's really no ability these days, especially these days, to like bear down and get outs when you need them, right? That maybe existed 30 years ago, right? I remember Pedro Martinez talking all the time about, nobody on, nobody out, throwing a fastball 3 miles an hour slower with movement, trying to get deeper into the game. That's not the way the game's played today, right? So back then, maybe, and especially, go back to a guy like Nolan Ryan, right? Could, when he really needed to, ramp it up a little bit harder. That's not the game today. Every pitch, and it's part of why I have all the pitcher injuries, right? Every pitch is 100%. So there's no ability to like bear down with guys on base. Everyone's going every pitch as hard as they possibly can. If Rodon keeps giving up base runners the way he's been doing, it's going to come back to bite him against a lineup that loves to hit lefties. This might be that opportunity. Plus odds on the Blue Jays, I think, is pretty good value. Plus 105, B grade pick for us. I don't think we'll get to the A grade, but you never know with the Yankees, and you never know with the Jays where the money's going to go. So just something to keep an eye on. If it gets to the A grade, put a little bit more on it. But this is a 50-50 game here. The Yankees have a good offense that should be respected. They've had a good start to the season. They're a good team, at least as long as Judge and Soto are healthy, because two guys like that at the top of the lineup can really solve a lot of problems. The Yankees being left-handed heavy, the Jays loving to hit lefties, two lefties where I'm not sure which one's better at this point, could be Kikuchi, maybe not. In Toronto, plus odds, sign me up. B-grade value, and definitely worth a play, in my opinion. Pirates and the Mets. This is one of the games with no lines for now. The Pirates have not listed an official starting pitcher. It will be Jose Quintana for the Mets. We're assuming Jared Jones for the Pirates, but could be a bullpen game or a minor league call-up. Not really sure. This game has the metrics for if it is Jones. Very solid pitcher, reasonable ERA, better FIP, even better XFIP, going the right direction. Quintana, good results, 3.45 ERA, underlying metrics around 5. Paint a different picture. So something to note there. That's part of the reason why the model thinks this is a 50-50 contest for the Pirates, is the fact that they maybe have a slight edge facing a lefty offensively, but also they have a little bit of an edge at starting pitcher that offsets with the game being in New York, right? Home field does give you an extra 2-3% right off the bat without doing anything. And so many baseball games are close to 50-50 that really can swing things back towards you. So again, one of those games where plus odds on either side would be beneficial. No line yet. And again, may change because I'm not sure if Jones will go here on a Tuesday or if they'll have him go Wednesday. Very up in the air for what the Pirates are going to do. So stay tuned to Dub Club and we'll have an official update at some point in the future. 7:10 p.m. Guardians at the Red Sox. Tanner Bibee and Garrett Whitlock in a game that'll be pretty chilly in Boston. Lower 50s to start, upper 50s to close. Wind blowing a little bit out, a little bit in, a little bit across. Probably not going to matter much. Cooler night should make it play a little more pitcher friendly. But I mentioned this to the Discord today. I mentioned this last year. Fenway Park confuses me. You just playing totals in Fenway is like the hardest thing to do, I think, because its park dimensions are so weird. You end up with games that shouldn't have a lot of runs that do, games that do or that shouldn't but do, and vice versa. And then sometimes it plays out just like you think. Sometimes, a lot of times the weather doesn't really impact things there that much because it's all about the conditions. But then sometimes it does seem like a cold day and the ball can't go anywhere, and a hot day the wind's blowing out. But you saw the day game here, the marathon game. If you watched that, there's one that might have been a home run that was kind of robbed at the warning track. Multiple warning track balls, multiple balls off the wall. I'm like, the wind's blowing out, and like just didn't quite help it enough. So I don't know. Fenway totals of Fenway are just a tough beast because the park dimensions mean more runs, but then that doesn't mean you can't see a low scoring game either. It just kind of depends on like where the guys are hitting that ball that day. And so just something to keep in mind with Fenway. That to me, they're the most frustrating place to play a total at least with a place like Coors. I kind of know what to expect. I know how the weather impacts it. San Francisco, I know the wind doesn't matter. The Wrigley end of the wind matters more. I know, obviously, Boston, like, I don't know. Anyway, Bibee and Whitlock. Bibee has not pitched well with regards to the results. Underlying metrics are more promising. Not as bad as that 530 or 593 ERA. Whitlock's still the better pitcher, but Whitlock's not as good as his ERA. So the gap between these pitchers is smaller than the difference in their ERAs. That said, Whitlock is still the better pitcher. Don't get me wrong. I think the gap might be a little bit smaller than it was on the marathon game. I can't remember exactly the ratings there, but it sets up very similar, right? Guardians are better offensively, and you saw it there with the Red Sox scoring no runs on Monday. That offense just isn't good. The Red Sox offense might be even a little bit worse. I do not know about the health of the left fielder and I guess Devers was the guy, and that really matters. I think it was Devers. Whoever it was that collided out there in left field might have more guys down. I don't know how that'll play out. So that's something else to keep an eye on. But even if they're all fine, obviously we hope they are. Guardians offense is just better, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but here we are. Guardians bullpen's better. The Red Sox will be home. The Red Sox will have the edge starting pitcher, but it's kind of like two pluses on one side, two minuses on the other side, and another 50-50 coin toss game. Obviously, they're not all going to be like that, but here's another one where the model just says this is pretty up the middle, maybe slightly more that the Red Sox should be favored, minus 101, but I mean, it's slight. Guardians plus 105 is a B-grade pick. I do not think we'll see an A-grade, but I have no problem locking in the Guardians and treating it very similar to what happened on Monday. You can wait if you want. We waited on Monday and that worked out really well for us because the price got even better. It jumped up to in the plus 120s. Might have even got higher than that before first pitch if you waited even longer. So maybe you wait around on it. I don't know. At some point, the fear waiting around on this one is if there's some injury stuff based off that collision, or if there's just some kind of backlash to the fact that the Red Sox look so terrible. And the Guardians kind of doing the same thing, right? Struggling on offense, but then kind of unloading and putting up a bunch of runs in a hurry. The Guardians, I'm a little bit afraid to play against the lefty, but against the righty, it seemed like a reasonable investment here. It seemed like they're being disrespected. So we're going to take the Guardians, kind of like we did on Monday here. B-grade pick. If you want to ride around, get a better price, go for it. If not, then I'm just going to officially lock it in as our play in that one. Padres and the Brewers projecting a cold night in Milwaukee, closing the roof. Dylan Cease versus Wade Miley. Pirates going to have a little bit of avenging and flip the lefty-righty thing because it's got who you are, not who you're facing. Padres a little bit right-handed heavy. That means they're going to do better against a lefty and Wade Miley, who looked pretty good in his first start with regards to the runs. Only one earned run in four innings. But again, the theme of early season baseball is what's real and what's fool's gold. The underlying metrics were a concern. It was only one start anyway. We have a lot of data on Wade Miley. He's not an amazing pitcher, right? So the Brewers have been a fantastic story. Their offense is moving the right direction. The fact that their offensive rating is a 95 is pretty incredible, in my opinion, because they've been worse than that for most of the time I've been modeling baseball for the last half decade, with that one small exception where they had that one like little hot streak when they traded for Willy Adames in the middle of that season. So this is as good as it's been for the Brewers offense. It's been pretty impressive, but they're gonna have a tough time against Dylan Cease, who's a great pitcher. You know that. They're gonna have a tough time throwing Wade Miley, who's not a great pitcher. You know that. This Padres offense is good. Bullpen wise is pretty similar. This Padres bullpen continues to perform fairly well. It's been revamped, and hey, the model's adjusting. And this was one of the scarier bullpens starting the season, but lo and behold, you got a couple new guys in there. The model's liked what it's seen, and now puts this Padres bullpen as pretty mediocre. Obviously, the Brewers bullpen losing Devin Williams hurts. Abner Uribe, I think is his name, was supposed to be a guy who's supposed to be better. He's not been good. So all of a sudden, in a game that coming into the season, especially before the Devin Williams news, we would have said the Brewers have a massive edge of bullpen. Now model says Padres slight edge. It's rounding error, though, but still, it's pretty impressive in my opinion. So Padres with Cease, much better starting pitcher, better offense. On the Padres here at minus 119, model says it should be minus 130. B-plus grade, note we're only 3 cents away from the A grade at minus 116. Pretty strong pick here on the Padres. I think they've got a good chance here to take game two. Things line up for them fairly well, mainly, like I said, because of the big pitcher discrepancy. Royals and the White Sox, no line on this one because the White Sox just never know who's going to pitch for them, I suppose. We're plucking in Eric Fetty. I don't know if he's going here on Tuesday or Wednesday. He'll go at some point, I presume. Yeah, the White Sox are so terrible. I mean, that's really all there is to it. I don't know what else to say. Their relievers don't rank dead last, and their offense doesn't rank dead last, but it ain't good, to say the least. Brady Singer, underlying metrics point to he's not quite as good as that ERA, but you have to be optimistic. I made the comment last week. You have to be excited about what you've seen from him. Things seem to be going the right direction. He seems to be kind of back. This is one of the games that I would be eyeing for a parlay of the day. Pick on the Royals. I would not take the White Sox here unless the value was just insane. Obviously, I wouldn't put them on parlay if I did. And even then, I probably would rather have first five. We're going to need to back the White Sox when the price is right because they're going to bring us some profits because at some point, the market's going to give us an insanely good price. I just don't know if we're there yet. My guess is the prices are going to be really high. We'll have our chance to back them at some really great prices later on. But for now, I don't really think there's much point in doing it, especially when you get a guy like Fetty, who I guess is their second best starting pitcher behind Crochet. But his FIP is 720 this year, so I mean, it ain't very good. So to me, his Royals are pass. That doesn't mean you have to play the Royals. The reason we have a model, in my opinion, is to tell us when is the price too high to play. The model says you just don't want to play a price really beyond about minus 150. That's about the highest the model would tell you to go. My hunch is the price will be higher than that. My hunch is the Royals win. But the thing is that weird things happen in baseball and bad teams still win. And that's why we have to be price sensitive, because if we're laying a price, like if this opens up Royals minus 170, like, and you play the Royals minus 170, you know, in two games and they go 1-1, then you've lost a decent chunk of money there, right? So we have the model to help figure out what a good price is. Minus 150 is about as high as we want to go. If we get minus 130, we'd love it. I would be shocked if we got a price like that. I think the days of fading the White Sox might be over because I think the market is, you know, onto the fact that they're terrible. And it's going to be a lot of passing in the White Sox games, I think, for us, just because I don't really want to back them. And I think price is going to be too high to fade them. If it was that easy to just fade bad baseball teams, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't do the show. We would just fade bad baseball teams. We'd all make money. It's not that simple, right? You probably know that watching this show. 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Braves and the Astros. Play of the day here. Another nice night in Houston, mid-70s. Hopefully they open the roof up. Ronaldo Lopez versus my boy Hunter Brown. Dub Club is the place to be for the pick on this one. I absolutely love what we're doing here. If you're with us on Dub Club, you already know what I'm doing there. Cubs and the Diamondbacks to the late games, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Another night where the roof might be open, so keep that in mind with regards to what you're doing if you're betting a total. Upper 70s to start, around 70 degrees to close. That part plays very different based off roof open or closed. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Tommy Henry and Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks has been terrible this season with regards to results. 12.08 ERA, FIP of 8, xFIP a little bit lower. He's not as bad as those numbers, but he's not good either. The model's still valuing what's happened this season at only like 10-ish percent, and he still gets a 116 grade. So he's not been good on the road, as most pitchers that aren't good are. I mean, he's been a guy that's worth fading. The Cubs relievers, I don't have a lot of faith in. The Cubs offense is solid. I like backing the Cubs when they have one of their better pitchers going. Kyle Hendricks is not it. He's kind of an inning eater, and he hasn't even done that well this year. Tommy Henry on the other side, I'm not sure is much better. 5.79 ERA this season. Underlying metrics say maybe a little bit better. I'm not really sure it is. I think the bottom line is that these offenses are both pretty respectable, and these pitchers are both very meh. When you get to the bullpen, I like the Diamondbacks bullpen better. Diamondbacks are at home. I like backing this Diamondbacks team when I can. And this is where, you know, you watch the show and you listen and to me jabber on, probably, right? Why do I like to back the Diamondbacks? Because they made the World Series last year. There's a little bit more. It's a little bit deeper than that. The idea is I'm always trying to think through how the market's seeing teams. Because if I know the market's a little bit biased somewhere, it kind of tells me where my default position will be. And so the Rangers and the Diamondbacks are both in the same situation. They both made the World Series last year. I think their market's going to be a little bit high on them because of that. And so if the model's saying there's value on them, I'm like, yeah, we should just jump because we are going to be a little bit more level-headed. And we're not going to have the opportunity to back them, but they're going to win games. And so like the best time to back them is going to be when there's the biggest edges on them. And I'm like, we're not going to get a bunch of big edges on the Diamondbacks other than when they play the Rockies, because the Rockies are terrible on the road. And so it's a small edge. You only see grade minus 120. Model says you can be minus 122. So you can play at minus 120, maybe minus 125. But really beyond that is not a wise price to play them at, according to model. A grade minus 110. I don't think we're ever going to see that here. Because Kyle Hendricks isn't good enough to drive that price that way, but I just think we're not going to get a lot of big edge on the Diamondbacks based off of their run last year. So even small edges, I'm like, you know what, we probably should back them. There's a little bit of logic behind that. Maybe I'm crazy. If we end up backing the Diamondbacks a handful of times here at these B and C grades and it doesn't work out, come May we'll reevaluate. But early on in the season, if there's value on a team that had a good run last year, I think it makes sense to back them. Same with the Orioles. We talked about that before, right? That's mostly worked out for us here. If there's not value on the team, I'm not going to press it, but a little bit of value on the Diamondbacks, I think it's worth it. Only a C grade, but I'm playing the Diamondbacks here to win game two of that series. Reds and the Mariners. I mean, I don't even know if I have to talk about this. If you've been watching, you know where we're going with this. I don't know. I'll say it again. I don't hate the Reds. I think the Reds are a good ball team. I think they're a little overvalued is really the bottom line. Their offense isn't bad. The Mariners' offense isn't bad. Neither one's great. The Reds' offense, when it gets fully healthy, will be above average, which will be good. I still think they need more relievers. I think they did not address their biggest issue with relievers. I was not pleased with those signings. The starting pitching's good for them, absolutely. And if they can stay healthy, that's been the big concern, right? Montas has had injuries, Green's had injuries, Lodolo's had injuries, Ashcraft's had injuries. Literally, they've all had a lot of injuries, right? But if they stay healthy pitching-wise, like, they're okay. They're not terrible. In this one, Green's better than that ERA. He's not that bad. The issue is Logan Gilbert is a better pitcher. Logan Gilbert's a really good pitcher. I mean, it's that simple. So the Mariners have an edge there. They'll have an edge at reliever. This is a game where I like the full game specifically. Here we talked about how the first five is. I like the full game because I think the Mariners will be in it or ahead after five, and if so, we've got a great shot because I just think their bullpen's a lot better. If the Mariners are up after five, like, they should hold on to win, right? Our odds are good there. So minus 127 is an A grade pick for us. I'm not messing with the first five. Even if there's an edge there, I'd rather just put more on the full game because I like this bullpen edge the Mariners have. Not that the Mariners bullpen's what it was, whatever it was last year, 2 years ago, when they've been really good. But again, I just don't think the Reds have a lot in the bullpen. And so they're going to really need Hunter Green to go, you know, at least six, maybe seven innings. And not say he can't. And the Reds can win this game, right? Model says they win 4 out of 10 times. So I'm not trying to say the Reds will never win this game. I'm just saying the market's treating the Reds like they're an 83-win team right now, and I kind of think they're like a 78-win team right now. It's not a big difference, but it's just enough to give us a little bit of an edge against them that's slowly going to build up, we hope, over the course of the season, at least until they get some guys back. You know, Friedel was a big part of that offense last year. McClain was a big part of that offense last year, right? Marte gives them, you know, more depth offensively, et cetera. So again, I just look at the Reds bullpen signs for it. So we're on the Mariners here again, fading the Reds. I mean, same story, different chapter. -127, a great pick. -134 is our threshold there. Models of the Mariners won 6 out of 10 times, so not a lock, but -127 makes for a good investment. Cardinals and the A's. No pick on this one. Lance Lynn and J.P. Sears are the two pitchers. Pick because the price is not very good on either team. It's priced fairly well. Cardinals better on offense. Cardinals better at the bullpen. Lynn's a little bit better pitcher than Sears. Don't be deceived by the ERAs. Lynn's underlying metrics put him more in the mid-4s. Sears is not great, you know. And Lynn's the better pitcher. It's just maybe it's just not quite as much as the ERAs might indicate. But I mean, it's just like always with the A's, right? Like a lot of teams have an edge against the A's. The issue is the price. In this case, again, the Cardinals are rightly favored, but the model says the price should be -132. Issue is the Cardinals right now are -140. The A's are +132. Issue is the best price we can get on them is +130. So it's not even a good value to back the A's. So a couple ways you can treat this one. First off, you know, we're getting to the point where maybe the A's are going to be like the White Sox, that team the model is telling us to back. So maybe when it doesn't say to back the A's, we should fade the A's. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. I think we might be doing a lot of that later on in the season, depending on how things go. But for now, I just think it's not worth playing. This A's team's not bad. They could win this game. I don't think the Cardinals are a dumb play. I just, you know, backing Lance Lynn and a mediocre offense against an A's team that seems at least to have a pulse right now, like, I just don't want to pay a price like -140. So passing on this one for now. Let's take us to the last game of the night. Another game that we don't know the starting pitcher on. Still don't know what the Nats are going to do. Fangraphs now listed Patrick Corbin again tonight. They got a rookie here on Monday, so that was updated, sent out to everybody on Dub Club for Tuesday night. Now maybe it's Patrick Corbin again. I don't know. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. But the bigger issue is the Dodgers, what they're going to do. Right now it looks like a bullpen game type setup for them, maybe with Yarbrough getting a bunch of the innings. That's what this has. So back-to-back nights. Now, we don't know one of the two pitchers here for this this series. If it is Yarbrough, either starting or getting a bulk number of the innings, that's what you're seeing here on screen. Yarbrough, not great. That 307 ERA is misleading. The underlying metrics are a lot higher than that. Corbin's, again, as I mentioned last time, not as bad as 844 ERA, but not good. Not good last year. And the guy the Dodgers should beat up. As we mentioned, though, in yesterday's show, this Dodgers offense is good, but pretty left and heavy, so it gets a little bit of a ding facing a lefty in Corbin. Nats also left and heavy, so they'll get a little bit of a ding facing Yarbrough, but he's probably only going to go 3-4 innings, so I'm not sure if that matters a ton, especially if they do. They'll probably do an opener or not just based off of where the lefties in the lineup are and stuff like that, so a little bit of a chess match there. If it is Yarbrough, the model says the Dodgers will win 68% of the time, so there's your numbers, your thresholds, etc. On screen, A grade threshold for the Dodgers would be -192, for the Nats would be +265, so we'll update that with the pick in the morning on Dub Club. Otherwise, that's all I've got for you here today. A bunch more coming on Dub Club. Starting pitcher changes, updates. We'll get that out. Summaries, more information, all sorts of goodies, including the Discord chat where you can ask me questions about these, how we're doing, what we're doing, why we're doing any of it. That's the place to be. 10-day trial to start you out with the link in the show description or the QR code. Either one, we hope to see you over there on Dub Club. If you're already with us again, as always, thank you for your support. And remember, as always, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.